Welcome back, Eric Hattie, Everyday Hustle. Great podcast the other day with my mom. Had a lot of fun recording it. It was learning how to do picture in picture. It was getting to talk to my mom. It was my first true interview style podcast, and I really enjoyed it. So much so that my very next guest will be Kyle Bennett, who I will be interviewing Monday. Kyle is my best friend of almost 20 years. We used to be enemies. We were both competing for the same first position, well, really the only position, jazz guitar player in the Waseca High School Jazz One Band, which yours truly took the seat, of course, but we became insanely close friends. He has stood in both my weddings, and just a good fucking dude who has a lot to talk about, can share some embarrassing stories about me, but more than anything, he's a hustler. He knows how to sell. He knows how to lead. He just wrapped up getting his MBA from the University of Minnesota. So he's smart. He's wicked smart. So I'm excited to interview him on Monday. That'll be good stuff. But no, good feedback. Highest views by far of my YouTube videos and most downloads of the podcast thus far of the whole six episodes. So thank you. And if you're new, welcome. I promise it's not going to suck. And I say that every episode, and then sometimes they suck, but that's okay. Here's all week, or really for several weeks now, in my industry, our primary go-to-market is door-to-door sales. I've never understood door-to-door sales because I look at everything through the lens of myself as the consumer, and I would never open the door for a door-to-door salesperson. In fact, it wasn't until I went into the satellite industry, where they also sell a lot door-to-door, that I started opening the door purely just to hear them pitch. And if they were worth a shit, then I pitched them on becoming their own business directly with me. So I tell you that because I'm really struggling with... I'll back up here. The note, because remember, I don't prepare. So I have a very limited group of notes here, and one of them is old school sales techniques that won't die. And door-to-door is kind of one of those techniques that just won't die. And I'm not entirely sure why. I think there's value in door-to-door sales. I truly do. The issue I see with door-to-door sales is the bad reputation it's gotten because of the brotastic, like, monster energy drinking, gelled hair, just douche canoes that tend to... I gotta fucking edit that part out. I'll get ripped apart at work for making fun of our own. I just don't get it. I follow these groups on Facebook and on LinkedIn that are door-to-door focused. And, they talk about, oh, fuck yeah, I just sold a fucking customer that had a no soliciting sign on their door. Fuck yeah, woo! No. Stop it. Like, no. If a customer has a no soliciting sign, that's not a fucking challenge. That's not a, I bet you can't. It's a, please don't. So just fucking, I mean, there are how many hundreds of millions of houses in this fucking country? You feel compelled to knock that one? Like, how many times does that actually work? How many fucking times do you go up to a door that says no soliciting and the customer's like, oh shit, I hate solicitors, but I'm so glad you're here because I need what you have. No, fuck that. It's stupid. Like, That's what gives door-to-door solicitors a bad name, because at the end of the day, that's the one that gets recorded on a fucking doorbell camera and the video is now on Twitter and everybody in the fucking neighbor, like, do you have Nextdoor app on your phone? Mine is constantly like, there's these guys going door to door and I think it might be a scam. Why the fuck do they think it's a scam? Because every door to door rep has come off like a skeezy fucking used car salesman, and it drives me insane. It's not that hard to be an effective salesperson and not be a fucking skeez. Like, Jesus Christ. Sorry, it's that is 8 weeks of social media complaints directed at my company that's just gotten me over the top. So then you get, let's say the door-to-door guy knocks a door that doesn't say no soliciting. And have you ever listened to a fucking door-to-door sales guy's pitch? Like, half these motherfuckers listen to fucking Grant Cardone. And I fucking hate Grant Cardone. I don't give a shit how many millions of dollars he has. He's a fucking skis bag. And a private jet's a dumb fucking spend of money. So Grant Cardone's theory is don't take no for an answer, which is fine. That's how I got my wife. Wow, that, okay, scrap that. That came off a little rapey. It's okay to take a no, backtrack, re-explain yourself, reposition your pitch, but guess what? You get another no, it's a fucking no. Anything after that, it's going to be a bad experience for the customer. Half the time, man, I wish that the analytical side of me just would love to be able to categorize customers that were pressure sold and look at what the attrition curve of those customers is on a subscription-based service. Because I guarantee they are so fucking ready to get out of that contract because they got taken for a ride. It just drives me nuts. Old techniques that won't die. Like, I don't know. Like, okay, let's get out of my industry. You know what I love doing? I love buying cars. Do you know why I love buying cars? Not partially because I love cars, but because I am a salesman. I know all the bullshit techniques that you're going to use against me. You don't have to go fucking talk to your manager. And no, the conversation doesn't start with what do you want your payment to be? That's not how this fucking works, dude. You... If I come in and I tell you I want a $500 a month payment or less, and he goes back and says, well, this guy's got A+ credit, his payment's only going to be like $425. I can put him on a higher interest rate, or I can go sell him more. When the last two cars I've bought, I've gone in and said, listen, this is the car I want. I pointed directly at the car I drive today. I said, this is the car I want. This is the price I'm going to pay. I already have financing lined up. Do we have a deal or not? And it's still this fucking, like, when I bought my Lincoln, I went in and I said, hey, I know this is the car I want. This is what I'm going to pay. And he says, okay. And I said, and I want to test drive it overnight because my wife's busy and I want to make sure that she likes the car and understands why I'm about to spend the money I'm going to spend, because it's a cool fucking car. And so I take the car home overnight. I come back the next day. I come in cool as a cucumber, not showing any emotion for that car whatsoever, though I really fucking wanted that car. But I just said, hey, it was all right. Not bad. And I said, so do we have a deal? And he goes, no, I can't do that price. All right. Thank you. Now let me back up. That whole conversation with him started with, hey man, I'm a salesman. I'm not here to play games. I'm going to give you a fair deal because you're going to give me a fair deal. Do you understand? I'm not going to play games. And he said, oh yeah, yeah, no, absolutely, bro. Woo. So I do. Hey, do we have a deal? No. Okay. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you letting me take the car home last night. Take care. I turn around. I walk my fat ass out of the car dealership. Guess who calls me not 20 minutes later? Hey, man, it's Hunter. I just talked to my manager, and I think we might be able to make a deal. Can you come back? What's the deal, Hunter? Well, hey man, just come back. Let's talk through it. Hunter, I'm not playing games. Just tell me what the deal is. So, long story short, I'm a hypocrite because I let him play the stupid fucking games because, long story short, I really wanted that fucking car and it was a hard fucking car to find. I was buying it 2 years used. The market on that specific car with all the features I wanted, it was really hard to find. And that was the one. It was the only one in Dallas-Fort Worth. I checked. So, in what world does a car... So, Hunter makes a fucking deal on the car, right? And he says, all right, man, let's go talk to the finance guy. And I said, hey, no need, Hunter. I've already got my credit union signed up. Just let me know where they need to send the check. And he goes, oh, no, dude, we don't take outside financing. And I looked at him and was like, you don't take money? Is that what you're telling me? You don't fucking take money? And he, all right, Hunter, thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon. So they had to run an application, and only if my credit union beat the offers that they were going to get with their own credit unions or banks or whomever, would they take my outside credit union's check? They didn't want to take money. They didn't want to take money they weren't going to make money on. That's the bigger issue. That whole industry, the car industry, they make probably more money on the financing of the car than they do on the car itself. And there's a bigger problem there. So anyway, this is turning into an old man boomer rant. And I'm not liking it, but it got me fucking fired up. Old school techniques that just won't fucking die. God damn it. Salesmen have a bad name, and it's because of bullshit like that. Like, I'm not going to fucking toot my own horn and say I'm the perfect salesman. I'm not. And I'm also not going to try and sell you a fucking 10-course, you know, seminar on how to be perfect like me. I'm not. I'm not going to fucking put Instagram videos up of me on a private jet telling you how awesome I am. I'm just not. Like, just be fucking real. I have a product. You want that product. Let's work together and make a fucking deal that's good for both of us. How hard is that? Like, when I was slinging cell phones back in the day, I let more business walk out the door than anybody else. And the business I let walk out the door sent me more business than anybody ever got off of referrals anywhere else, anytime else. And here's why. So back in the day, this is going to date me a little bit, you would have to pay per text message and you would have to pay per megabyte of data. And you had to choose how many minutes you wanted on your cell phone plan, unless the call was after 9 PM and that shit was free. So everybody had a slightly different offer and everybody's needs were different. And there were times that customers would come into my store and say, here's what I need. Rather than transactional, I need this. Okay, here's this. Have a great day. It was, tell me what you're looking for. Tell me what your needs are. Tell me what you're going to use it for. Tell me about this. Open-ended questions. I wanted to hear who's going to have phones, what they're using the phones for, what they like to do. Things, you know, out of those conversations, I would learn things that maybe they didn't even realize that they wanted or needed. And there were times that I would use what I call the most powerful words in sales, which is based on what you've told me. I'm going to say that again, based on what you've told me, because all you're doing is repeating back to the customer exactly what they told you. So if the customer tells me I need a phone with unlimited data, unlimited minutes, and unlimited texting, because I'm a businessman, I'm going to sell them based on what they told me, unlimited minutes, unlimited texting, and unlimited data. But if it's fucking, you know, Sally Soccer Mom who just uses it in emergencies, I'm not going to fucking sell her on unlimited minutes, unlimited texting, unlimited data. And yes, if you're looking down at your phone to see what year this is and why this guy's talking about unlimited minutes, I'm just using personal reference from like 15 fucking years ago. But based on what you've told me, why can't, I'm going to go back to my industry now for a minute. Why can't more security sales guys listen to a customer, have a conversation with a customer? Stop using, oh my God, I just thought of another one. We'll come back to it. All you have to do is have a conversation and make a recommendation based on what they've told you, and a customer will be yours for life. Now, so more customers walked out the door because of me than anyone else. And I say that because there were times where my honest to God answer to a customer was, I don't have the product you need, but here's who does. Go down the street to AT&T, go down the street to, whoever, I work for Verizon, to go to Sprint. And here's why. They have what you need based on what you've told me. And they're like, you don't want to sell me something? Of course I want to sell you something. But I would be doing you a disservice if I sold you what I have. There's a better deal out there. Go get it. And guess what? They did. They would leave and they would go get it. But people fucking talk. And in these conversations, they would say, man, there's this fat fuck that wears this double Windsor pink tie at the Verizon store up on 159. And you should go talk to him because he'll tell you exactly what you need. And he's honest. And he's not going to just take you for a fucking, take you through the ringer and hold you upside down and dump your pockets. He's actually looking out for you and your best interest. That, my friends, is a fucking salesperson. Not what you see when you close your eyes and think stereotypical sales guy. Stereotypical sales guy is the dude that's fucking chugging Monster Energy, smoking cigarettes, and fucking going for the kill, even if that's not what the customer wants or needs. Stop it. So I just thought of another old technique that just won't fucking die. And again, it's in the security industry, and it's scare tactics. In the early 90s, well, it's probably like mid-late 90s, when home security was really like, you either lived in the hood or you had money, because those were the only two people who wanted or needed security. And the way it was sold, think back to Brinks Home Security commercials back in the 90s. It was a masked robber breaking into a house and a siren going off and the police immediately showing up, and the white family was nice and safe because of Brinks Home Security. I should stop using that name. I might bleep that out. That shit may have worked back then. It doesn't work now. You can't scare somebody into buying a product. There's a joke to be made there, but I'm not going to. There's a guy I met a couple of years ago who was selling home security, not in my program. And he was telling me, yeah, anytime I go into a new city, I go pull the crime reports. And when I knock a door, I say, did you know that somebody was raped two blocks away last week? You need security. And it worked. You don't fucking scare people into signing their life away for 3 years. That's not how this fucking works. There is a true need and value for the product. Scaring somebody into it is not it. If somebody's buying out of fear, it should be because something happened to them or to someone they know that triggered them to buy a security system. I bought my first security system because a stranger walked into my house by accident. All the fucking houses looked the same, but it was still a little freaky. And when I walked to the door, because it was a cookie cutter DR Horton house and it had a security system in it. It was really just a door chime more than anything, because we never signed up for the service, because I was like, that's a fucking waste of money. We live in a safe neighborhood. We're fine. This guy walks in and I hear the door chime. And so I get up and I walk to the front of the house and he looks up and sees me. And thank God I hadn't spoke yet, because I look scary, but I don't sound scary. And he's like, I'm in the wrong house. I'm so sorry. I thought this was the address. And I, before I could even open my mouth, like, he had this look of panic in his face. I could clearly tell he was truly the wrong house. This was not just some guy trying to talk his way out of breaking in. It was truly this dude walked in the wrong house. But before I could say anything, he says, "Thank you so much for not shooting me," because we live in Texas. Little does he know, I'm not really into that. So yeah, scare tech, old fucking techniques that just won't die. God, I fucking hate it. It's 2020. It's time to do things differently, and it's time to do things right, and it's time to change the fucking perception of salespeople, regardless of your industry, regardless of what you do. Salespeople should have a better reputation, but it starts with fucking salespeople. We, as a whole, have to do better if we're going to be respected. Because how many times, salespeople, have you been with friends or family, or you just met your girlfriend's family, and they say, "Oh, what do you do?" "Oh, I'm in sales." Oh. The only way you should be able to tell that somebody is a salesman is if their spouse is 10 times hotter than them, because they're a salesman. You're welcome. I could rant about this, and there is a group who falls into everyone I've just been bitching about, who's going to see this or stumble upon this or hear this, and they're going to go, "Fuck that guy. He doesn't know how to sell. He's not a salesman. I knocked 80 doors and sold 70 systems." Fuck that. I will go toe to toe with anyone, and I will outsell you, and I will get more referrals, and I will have better retention of my customers, and I will make more money, and I will do it the right way. And at least salespeople who are ruining the reputation of everyone else here, I can go sleep at night with no issue about anything I've done to a customer. Can you? That, my friends, is my old man rant for the night, because I've had a McUltra when you really want to be an alcoholic, but watch your girlish figure. I don't know. I've been in a feisty mood all day. I had a rough day, and this shit's been wearing on me. And so I hope, I pray actually, that this gets more views and more downloads than anything else I do in the future of this podcast, because salespeople, it fucking starts with us, and we have to do it right. And right now, you're not fucking doing it right. If you're out knocking doors right now and you're not wearing a mask and you're not doing social distancing and you're not leading off the conversation with, "Is everyone here okay and staying safe? And let me explain to you why, yes, this area is unrestricted, but I'm out selling because I have something that's valuable to you." If you do all those things, overnight, social media will stop being complaint central. That's a lie. People are going to complain on social media about anything and everything. But there will be less frequency of this fucking door-to-door guy, or there's some shady people in my neighborhood, or whatever. Just fucking stop. Do it right. Be a genuine, honest person to every customer you sell, and you will never have these problems again. And I can get off my fucking soapbox and stop sounding like an angry old man. Join me Monday when I interview my best friend, Kyle Bennett. Guys, thank you. My name's Eric Hattie. This is Everyday Hustle, and I promise the next one won't suck.